Why be clutter-free? As you'll learn in the following chapter, getting your life to a clutter-free state will provide an abundance of benefits. You will save yourself time and money, help local charities, and make the world a more sustainable place. Won't you sleep better at night when you check those accomplishments off your to-do list? What is clutter? According to dictionary.com, clutter can either be a verb or a noun, and each form can have several meanings. None of them are good. You aren't going to look at any of the clutter definitions on that site and say, "Boy, howdy, I could use more of that in my life." For our purposes, we'll stick with a couple of the basic definitions. A disorderly heap or assemblage, litter. A state or condition of confusion. I'd like to take it a step further and add this refinement. Clutter isn't just possessions that you leave lying around in a disorderly fashion. If you have possessions that you have tidily tucked away in neatly stacking storage bins, but that you rarely look at and never benefit from, that's clutter too. Everything you own owns you back. And if you don't have a really good reason to keep something, it's just wasting space in your home and chipping away at your peace of mind. Let's be clear. This book isn't going to be about organizing your clutter. It's about being free of it. It's about changing the way you think about your possessions, time, and energy. It's about getting rid of things and habits that are holding you back so that you can move ahead to live a simpler, happier, and more productive life. So let's add a definition to those above. Unused possessions that provide no fulfillment. What? 3 more hours a day? Some declutter professionals, and there are plenty of them around, maintain that you can save yourself 3 hours a day by decluttering your life. That's because you have less junk to take care of, are less likely to lose things, and can maintain a more organized life. Each and every possession that you have needs some kind of care. Even if it isn't an ornate silver tea set that requires careful polishing, it probably needs to be cleaned from time to time, maintained, or at the very least, stored. So the more things you own, the more mental and physical energy gets sapped by them. That's why it's important to take time to consider what you own and in what form you want to own it. How many times have you lost half or more of your Saturday running errands? Your errands are probably based mostly on what you own. Your precious weekend time gets taken up buying cleaners or organizers for your possessions or bringing more possessions into your home. When you turn that mentality around, you will be rewarded with a great sense of freedom. You will spend far less time taking care of and dusting things that don't bring you pleasure. Another time saver is that without the clutter, you are far more likely to find those everyday necessities of life. You know that losing your car keys amongst clutter can easily consume an hour of your valuable time, and always when you can least afford to be late. Clutter leads to lack of organization, which leads to wasted time. It's stressful, too. Being clutter-free means that you have a place for everything and whatever you need comes easily to hand. Imagine how much time it would save if you could readily find the kids' permission slips and backpacks and your laptop charger and cell phone when you need to go out the door in the morning. Financial benefits. Changing your mentality to cut clutter and stay clutter-free provides financial benefits. For starters, getting clutter-free means that you'll be getting rid of things, lots of things. Some of your clutter will be items that you no longer need, outgrown clothes, the duplicate fondue set you received as a gift, etc., things that other households could use. You can make some money selling those items on Craigslist or at a garage sale. If you don't want to spend time selling your possessions, you can donate them to your favorite local charity thrift store. You'll benefit the charity and get a tax deduction for your generosity. Staying clutter-free also means that you'll be more mindful of what you bring into your home, as you will almost certainly make fewer purchases. Some people find that remaining clutter-free significantly changes their shopping habits. You can't very well maintain actively shopping as your favorite hobby and stay clutter-free. You need to limit yourself to window shopping, which will save you time, or cut out pleasure shopping altogether, which saves money and time. When you cut down on unnecessary possessions, the kind you trip over daily and the kind that are tidily stored, you might find yourself able to move to a smaller, less expensive home or rental. Your smaller home will be less expensive in every way, both to pay mortgage or rent on, and to heat, cool, maintain, etc. Some people look at houses without a basement the way some people look at crimes against humanity. They don't understand how on earth such home purchasers store their junk. The square footage in basements, closets, and any other storage area doesn't come free. But do you really want to spend more money housing things you don't need than you spend on housing your family or yourself? Lower stress. You know that clutter is a visual distraction that induces stress. If you scold yourself for letting your mail stack up every time you walk past the hall table, that's stressful. If you constantly rummage through rarely worn clothes in your closet to find your outfit for the day, that's stressful. If you can't find your car keys when your wife's labor pains hit 2 minutes apart. It used to be that one of my most regular stress fests involved having guests at my home. It was bad enough when I invited friends over. That meant hours of dealing with the clutter that I'd been meaning to take care of and hadn't, in addition to cooking and entertaining. Worse, far worse, was when unexpected guests stopped in. I felt that all the petty details of my life were on full display. Well, that's because they were. From the empty ice cream container in front of the TV to the stack of clean but jumbled laundry, my life was on display in a way that I did not want it to be. It's a pleasure now to have a home that is always reasonably presentable. I'm a long way from perfect, but I can tell you that a little consistent effort will be rewarded by a huge gain in stress reduction. Where do I start? Stop procrastinating. If you are living with clutter, then I can say with 100% certainty that you are also living with procrastination. They don't make very good roommates, do they? In fact, procrastination is practically part of the definition of clutter. You know that you should take care of things as they pile up. You keep planning on doing something about it, but you never get around to doing it. If you have been meaning to take care of your clutter, but kept putting it off for longer than you'll admit, it may seem like an insurmountable job. Pull out all the standard tricks to get yourself motivated, moving, and taking care of your clutter the way you would like to. Visualize how wonderful your space will look and feel when you are finished. Put on your favorite music as you work, and maybe find yourself a willing partner to help. You can promise yourself small rewards as you hit major milestones. However, you'll find that just getting started and living in your lower stress environment will feel pretty rewarding all by itself. Some people find that they can only face decluttering a little at a time. If they think in terms of clearing out the entire house, they'll never even start. So they set a timer for 15 minutes and give decluttering their full energy and attention for those 15 minutes. Then they can take a break. If you want to tackle your clutter a little at a time, you might find it useful to write down your mini-goals and schedule them. For example, immediately after lunch, I will clean out the medicine cabinet. This small organizing step can help you avoid slipping into procrastination. The following scenario is all too common. You plan to clean out the medicine cabinet, but decide to run out for a latte to keep you company while you do it. Then, while you're out, you remember an errand you need to run, and then maybe you fit in some shopping. Before long, you've spent the afternoon without tidying up anything. Some people begin with targeting an area, a room, closet, drawer, etc., and work on it until it's tidy. Occasionally, a declutter convert will feel so inspired that he or she sets aside an entire weekend, or however long it will take, to clear out the whole house. Shake it up. After you conquer your procrastination, you can begin to declutter. The first step is always complete upheaval, a total shake-up. That's because you really want to make your life simpler and more organized, not just recycle your current stack of magazines and throw out last night's empty pizza box. Get everything that you can move into the center of the room, or if you are working on a small space, onto a table. Drawers, shelves, and closets should be emptied. You'll have a chance to clean out the storage space and install additional shelves or storage units if necessary. You'll also make sure that you tend to all the clutter that has been tucked away and forgotten. Categorize first pass. You are ready to begin the first pass of decluttering. This will be the most difficult part of the process because you're deciding what to keep and what to get rid of. It's also the most important part of the process. You'll need to summon your strength, courage, and common sense to do a good job as you sort things into a keep pile and a declutter pile. If you are like most people, you have a lot more stuff than you need. That stuff is complicating your life and leading to clutter. If it's something that you rarely or never use, it doesn't deserve space in your home. As you decide what to keep and what to declutter, the following guidelines might help. When did you last use it? Within the past few days. If it's something that you use or enjoy often, it's a keeper. Decide on a convenient place to keep it and put it where it belongs. Within the last month. This can be a difficult decision. If it's something that you regularly use every month, or some more or less, it's probably a keeper. Watch out for items that you might have used within the last month, but didn't lay hands on for a year before that. Don't let those things slip into your keep pile. They belong in your declutter pile. In the last year. If you only use it once a year or less often, you can get rid of it without worries. You won't miss it. Obviously, this guideline doesn't apply to seasonal items. For example, you don't want to get rid of holiday ornaments that you only use once a year. Never, maybe once, can't remember. Au revoir. Ciao. Adios. Auf Wiedersehen. It's clutter and you need to be rid of it. Resolve to get rid of unused items now. We've all had the experience of looking at something and thinking, oh, I really should donate that or throw it away. But the next thing we know, we're returning it to the closet or basement until that next time that we think, oh, I really should get rid of that. Maybe we feel guilty about giving away a gift from someone we love. Maybe we hope to lose 5 pounds and fit in a pair of jeans again. If you call on your common sense, though, it will tell you that your Aunt Betty will never know that you donated those candlesticks to Goodwill. You know that you will never wear those out-of-fashion jeans again. So don't procrastinate making the decision. Don't waste your time and energy deciding to deal with it later one more time. Move those things out of your house today so you never need to deal with them again. Categorize, second pass. The second pass will probably take just as long as the first, even though it involves only one of your piles. I hope it's the larger one, the declutter items. You'll need to decide what to do with the things you no longer plan to keep. That will take time, and it will take time to get everything to its designated new home. I promise that it will be well worth the effort when you occupy your newly organized space and you feel serenely clutter-free. During this phase, it's handy to have some large boxes and tough trash bags to load your unwanted things into. Resolve to get the boxes into your car and on the way to their new life as soon as you can, rather than letting them sit around in a closet or hallway. That's just trading one form of clutter for another. If you plan to do a thorough house cleaning and decluttering in a short length of time, you should do some advanced planning for your declutter pile. Can you arrange for a friend with a truck to move big loads to the dump, recycle center, or donation drop-off? Will you have items that a charity will come and pick up? Have you let years of junk build up in your garage and basement so badly that you need to rent a small dumpster? Here are the 4 categories you'll be sorting into. Throwaway. Some things probably belong in this category, although not many. For the sake of our planet as a whole and your local ground supply, please take some time to make sure nothing goes into your junk pile except junk. If you keep your eyes open and are aware of opportunities, you'll find that most of your unwanted household items can be sorted into the following recycle, sell, and donate categories. Please take the little extra time and energy, and it will require some, to see that your unwanted possessions serve some new use, rather than poisoning your local environment or adding to an already mountainous landfill. Recycle. True, there isn't any federal recycling police force snooping through your bin to make sure last month's magazines and junk mail and last year's now outdated electronics get recycled rather than thrown out. That is, unless you live in New York, where you can be fined for throwing recyclables into the trash. But states are increasingly establishing electronic recycling laws that include the establishment of recycling centers. Make sure you know what your local rules are and work within them. Our electronics, even small, simple items such as alarm clocks, increasingly contain toxic elements that should not go into a landfill. Check for the symbol of a trash can with an X through it. Your local office store will refill your ink cartridges, so there is no need to throw them away. You can surely find a nearby metal recycling center that will pay a small amount for your scrap metal items. If you have old batteries and certain electronics, you may need to pay to have them recycled, but it will be less expensive than a fine if you try to slip them into the trash in one of the 20 states and counting with an e-waste law on the books. See who will recycle your clutter and put it to good use. Sell. Get your Craigslist or garage sale items together and someplace safe so they aren't thrown away, lost, or back to being clutter you stumble over. Garage sales are one way to dispose of your clutter while making a little extra money. In fact, if you have never hosted a garage sale, you'll be pleasantly shocked at how quickly the small change from your items adds up. Donate. If you have items that don't belong in the recycling category, but you don't want to deal with the hassle of selling them, they go into the donate pile. Some charities will happily take even your most worn-out clothes and rag them out to make new products. Be sure to keep a record of what you donated and a reasonable estimate of what they were worth. That way, you can benefit financially without investing your time in a yard sale or answering Craigslist callers. You'll also help struggling community members. Thrift store profits benefit homeless families, victims of natural disasters, and fund research into cures for disease. Find a place for everything. This is my favorite guideline for clutter busting because it is so simple and sensible. Everything in your home needs to have a place where it belongs. If it doesn't have a designated place, you need to consider whether it should even be in your home. Take the always useful example of junk mail. Ask yourself where it belongs. Does it really belong on your dining room table? Nope. It belongs in a recycle bin or bag in the garage, so you get one set up. This rule also pertains to the layout of your storage areas, shelves, closets, cupboards, and drawers. Each space should be allocated to an item or function, and only the appropriate items stored there. In other words, junk drawers and huge sections of basement devoted to teetering, never-opened boxes need to become a thing of the past if you are going to live an organized, clutter-free life. You need a special place to store only what you truly need, rather than clinging to junk just in case. The junk in drawers and cupboards is just another form of clutter that wastes your time and drags you down each time you rummage through it. To help you maintain your routine of sorting clutter into categories where it truly belongs, trash, recycle, sell, and donate, establish locations for your unwanted items that are on their way out of your home. Maybe you want to establish a donate box in your front hall and organize recycle bins in your garage. When you plan to drive by a donation drop-off or a recycling center, the items you want to take will be ready to go. How long will it take? As mentioned, you can attack your clutter different ways. You might want or need, in the case of moving and selling your home, to attack all your clutter quickly. Somewhere between a weekend to a week should get the job done. If you take the job on one area or 15-minute block at a time, it will take a lot longer. Obviously, decluttering is not something you can do once and expect the results to last for very long. It's like any other form of housekeeping. Family and friends, who keep bringing things into your home, and the U.S. Postal Service, which keeps bringing junk mail, conspire against you. So, you'll need to establish some ground rules for how to slow clutter down and a schedule for regular decluttering tidy-ups. One useful ground rule is to establish zones in your home where you only allow items that are being used. For example, family members can bring a book to the living room sofa if they are reading the book, but they can't leave the book in the living room when they go on to their next activity. Likewise, you might want to establish a practice of sorting your mail as soon as you bring it into your home. Sort through and identify the junk mail, which goes immediately into your recycle container, so it doesn't accumulate on your entryway table or any other horizontal surface. If your clutter tends to be purchases that get out of control, you can establish this useful guideline. For every new purchase you bring into your home, you will remove two. The next time you see a delightful figurine or charming antique bottle for sale, the price of purchasing it will include losing two of your existing figurines or bottles. That will either help you to slow down and honestly consider whether you want and need a new purchase, or ensure that you have room for it. We've already mentioned limiting your shopping trips as a way to slow down clutter accumulation. That goes double for those of you whose clutter mostly results from purchases. Another trick to hold your impulses in check is to establish a strict budget and stick with it. You make your budget ahead of time, out of the temptation of beautiful store displays. That way, you are in an unemotional state when you decide whether you really need to bring another purchase into your home. When you're faced with a tempting display, ask yourself whether you have money in your budget this month for home decor purchases. If the answer is no, then you admire the wares and keep on walking. Lead, then find followers. After you begin to declutter, you'll probably be quickly hooked. You will love the freedom of living clutter-free and will want to extend it to all areas of your home, business, and life. That's a problem if you're living with people who haven't caught the declutter bug. When your family or significant other sees the benefits of decluttering, they will probably follow in your footsteps. In the meanwhile, you might experience an uncomfortable period of transition. One person getting rid of clutter and at least one other person not on board. Whatever you do, you must resist the temptation to manage anyone else's things. Declutter your home. Bedrooms begin in your sanctuary. No matter how you attack your clutter, whether in one giant week-long purge or one 15-minute session at a time, you must begin somewhere. Many people advise beginning in your bedroom. If you have too many items stacked or collecting in any room, it feels more crowded and stressful. Your bedroom should be a sanctuary where you can feel peaceful and relaxed, so make it serene and clutter-free first. You follow the basic guidelines already listed about getting everything together and sorting through it. Make sure to get rid of as many things as possible and follow these additional hints for bedrooms. Remove items that don't belong in your bedroom. Sometimes stray items find their way into your bedroom and never get put back where they belong. Remember that you now have a place for everything. If you find something in your bedroom that doesn't belong there, return it to where it does belong. Get the books back onto a bookshelf and your papers back to your home office. Organize the little things. You'll probably find that your dresser and nightstand are littered with heaps of little things, jewelry, coins, and toiletries. Get your toiletries back into the bathroom where they belong and figure out ways to organize your jewelry. You can purchase necklace stands and earring trees to keep your jewelry detangled and easy to find when you need it. As a rule, though, you should limit decorative jewelry boxes, pictures, and knickknacks to a very select few. To keep your bedroom simple and pleasing to the eye, store most items out of sight. You'll find this is a great time to dust or polish your bedroom furniture surfaces, which you may not have seen in years. Use your bed as only a bed. Your bed should not be laundry sorting central. Remove any extra clothing, books, etc. from your bed and keep it clear. Resolve to not let laundry stack up on it or in other places in your bedroom. Imagine what a different atmosphere your bedroom will have without the constant nagging reminder of clothing that needs to be sorted or books that need to be put away. Sort and categorize. Empty out all your drawers and your closet and sort them using the guidelines already given. Figure out what you want to keep, where it belongs, and what you will do with the items you won't keep. This is the time to get rid of those tiny envelopes with an extra button and thread from clothing you can't even remember buying. Establish a routine. If you haven't already, get in the habit of making your bed each morning. While you are at it, you can pick up any dirty clothes and put them in your laundry hamper. Set just a few minutes aside each week to clean and tidy your bedroom so you get used to having it be a sanctuary that you can enjoy. Sometimes you'll find yourself living in a bedroom that seems so small it's hopeless. There is just no place to store your daily necessities and no way to avoid clutter. Don't despair. you have more room than you realize. After you've thoroughly removed everything you don't want or need in your bedroom, focus on finding a place for what's left. Make sure that every piece of furniture in the room serves a purpose. You can't have a bedside table that is simply decorative. It needs to double as useful storage space. Even the smallest table with a drawer can accommodate what you truly need by your bed: your glasses, medications, and the book you read before drifting off. Think about how you can make your storage space do double duty. You can mount small hooks on the inside of your closet doors for belts or ties. You can purchase roll-out storage bins to go under your bed. Living areas can be a tranquil oasis. Second only to your bedroom, decluttering your living area offers immense potential to simplify your life and give your home a feeling of tranquility. Some experts claim that it is also the easiest area to declutter. You won't be dealing with the mountains of emotion-packed articles your bedroom closet holds, and the logic is very straightforward. You'll get rid of what you don't need, and then group electronics with electronics, books with books, etc. Gather. What you gather depends on whether you are doing a once-a-week declutter or major marathon of improvement. As a weekly routine, you should always take a sweep through your living room, looking for anything that is out of place, and then sort it for where it belongs. If you have a major overhaul in mind, you'll want to empty all your storage areas, such as shelves and your entertainment center. You may decide to add storage as part of your reorganization. Whatever your ambition level happens to be, you'll begin by gathering everything that's loose. Sort. Sort your items into the following groups. Keep. These are the items that you need in your living room. It may seem like a contradiction, but if you want to live in a peaceful, tranquil space, you need to be brutal. Get rid of knickknacks and decorations unless they are very precious to you. Take down pictures, paintings, and decorative shelves, except for one or two very special pieces per zone. Every item in the room that pulls your eye to it takes some of your energy, and those things add up to become visual clutter. Keep somewhere else. You'll certainly discover some things that have found their way into your living room that need to be returned to their rightful place. If you have children, you may find a lot of things that need to be returned. Trash. If you are mindful of your recycling options, you won't find much in the way of trash in your living room. Maybe a family member ate an apple in front of the TV and left the core behind. I'll trust you to determine what qualifies as living room trash. Recycle. Sort through your magazines and colorful catalogs for any that you haven't read in more than a month. They belong in the recycling. Donate. If you find books you no longer read or DVDs you won't watch again, you can sell them or donate them to your favorite charity. Clean. Clean your entertainment center, bookshelves, and other storage areas so they will be nice and dust-free when you return their contents. Replace. Replace the contents of the room. If you have sorted well, you should feel a big difference. You will have tidy stacks with open spaces between them, rather than a jumble of entertainment goods. Kitchens, the hub of your home. Kitchens are the heart and soul of many homes. They are the place where family members gather, cook together, eat, and converse. They are also the primary work area in your home. Often, guests are pulled to your kitchen as a natural gathering place. For all these reasons, you want a kitchen that is organized, usable, and a point of pride. Decluttering a kitchen follows the same steps that are common to other areas of your home: gather, sort, categorize, and clean. Because most kitchens have many cupboards and drawers, the sheer volume of the task suggests a couple of extra guidelines. Go for broke. While it might feel like a dam has burst and you are about to drown in nested plasticware, I advise taking the whole kitchen on at once. Some experts suggest working on one cupboard or drawer at a time so you won't become overwhelmed, but that approach has serious disadvantages in my book. For one thing, you are looking for duplicates to discard and like items to sort together. Working piecemeal makes it difficult to compare items. Working in small bursts also guarantees a kind of short-sightedness. If you take your kitchen items out of one cupboard at a time, you will surely replace them into that same cupboard. You don't have an opportunity to rethink or improve upon where you store things. Sort. After you have your cupboard contents laid out, perform your basic sorting activity. Find items you never use, are duplicates, or are broken and get rid of them appropriately. Gather like items, such as your baking trays and mixing bowls in one place, your commonly used items in another, and your infrequently used items in another. Clean. Wipe your cupboards down well with warm, soapy water. If you need to replace shelf lining, this is the time to do so. You could also install under-cabinet hooks for coffee cups, a wall-mount spice rack, roll-out drawers, or any other storage improvements you want. Reorganize. Step back and review your kitchen layout. Think about any ways you can improve upon where you have been keeping things. If things are stored inconveniently, it's all the more likely that they won't be returned. They'll be left out on countertops to collect as clutter. The items you use the most often should be in the most convenient spots. For example, pots and pans should be close to the stove, while your plates should be close to the dishwasher. The items you use the most often, everyday drinking glasses, should be at the front of your cupboard, and the less frequently used, champagne glasses, toward the back. Tuck your rarely used items, such as those reserved for holidays or fancy feasts, away on the top shelves. Because space is always limited no matter how much you have, and because it's human nature to keep acquiring new and improved gadgets, you can expect to declutter your kitchen periodically. You can avoid the need for a marathon session by staying mindful of your kitchen's limits. If you bring a new gadget or utensil in, be sure to throw the old one out. Get rid of things once you discover that you no longer use them. Don't leave that bread-making machine on your counter or exotic cookbook in your cupboard after their charm is worn off. Donate them to someone who will get good use out of them. Bathrooms. Does your health department know? Bathrooms can present a serious clutter challenge because they are probably the smallest room in your house, but also one where people want to store tons of stuff. If you're lucky, your bathroom has a reasonable amount of storage space, a medicine cabinet, drawers, a linen closet, and under-sink storage. If you are among the 99%, you have an ugly mix of cleaning supplies and personal grooming items beside your sink, and a shower basin so cluttered with shampoos and conditioners, it would warm the deepest cockles of any slip-and-fall lawyer's heart. But take heart. The great news is that you can find a wonderful assortment of storage units and shower caddies to extend the space you have for storing bathroom items. Shop at a couple of home remodeling stores, Home Depot, Lowe's, etc., to see what they can do for you. In one way, decluttering a bathroom is simpler than other areas of your home. You have only the keep, recycling, and trash categories to deal with, because, let's face it, nobody wants to buy that conditioner you used once and didn't like. Here are some tips for a decluttered and healthier bathroom. Arm yourself. Have lots of strong trash bags and cleaning supplies ready to begin your bathroom declutter. Steel yourself. You need to begin this project with a strong resolve to throw lots of things away. You need to do it, and you need to do it now, because there is more at stake than in the other areas of your home. A good bathroom declutter will not just make your bathroom more organized and help family members get ready faster in the morning. It is important for health reasons. You know that you shouldn't keep old medicines on hand. It isn't safe to take them. So why have them around? The bacteria that grows in old makeup is bad for your skin, and the bacteria that grows in mascara can be dangerous for your eyes. And seriously, is leaving your slippery hair conditioner or body wash in your shower stall floor a smart idea? Attack the clutter and disorganization in your bathroom without mercy. Begin with storage areas. Start with your drawers, shelves, and cupboards. After you throw the unwanted items away that have been collecting there, you will know how much extra space you have to store things that have been cluttering your countertop. As noted earlier, you want to get rid of all your old toiletries and outdated medicines. Often, we let bottles of body wash, shampoo, etc. collect because we bought them, tried them once, and didn't like them. But it seems so wasteful to just throw them out. That's okay. Throwing them out is what your bathroom declutter spree is all about. If you don't throw them out now, you will someday. So go ahead and do it. Clean. After you have emptied and sorted through the contents of your drawers and cupboards, give them a good cleaning. It doesn't take long for bathroom surfaces to become sticky and dirty due to spillage. Reorganize. Just as in the kitchen, drawer organizers can be a great help to keep the items you store organized by use. Now that your bathroom is clean, you can add organizers and any other storage aids you've purchased, such as a shower caddy to get bottles off the shower stall floor. Group all your bathroom items by type and frequency of use and put them where they belong. It's important to have all your medicine, both prescription and over-the-counter, together and in your medicine cabinet so you can find it when you need it. Group your skincare products, face makeup, eye makeup, and shaving needs together. Store the items you use most frequently in the handiest locations and leave the bottom shelves for everything else. When you are done, you should be able to admire a bathroom that is orderly, easy to use, and safe. Closets, your best-kept sloppy secret. Has your closet started to resemble the most disorganized booth at the Big Top swap meet? Has it become a jumble of old and new shoes, clothing, belts, purses, ski gear, unsorted photos in shoeboxes, and sentimental treasures? If so, you know how difficult it is to find what you actually need. The answer is not to install a funnel cake machine, contact Rent-A-Clown, and continue living with chaos. Check out the steps below to help get your disorganized closets under control and a pleasure to use every day. Empty. The first step is to empty all contents from your closet. If you're facing a really intimidating task, you might take this part in zones. Empty the top section and continue with the following four steps: clean, sort, categorize, and organize. Next, move down to your clothing rack and perform the following four steps. Then you can tackle items on the floor. However you approach it, all the contents of your closet need to be removed and addressed. Clean. Give your closet a good cleaning. Scrub down all the walls and flat horizontal surfaces. If your weather is nice, you can open your windows and any exterior doors to give your closet a good airing out. Maybe you have a scented spray, cedar blocks, or odor remover, such as Febreze, to make your closet like new again. Sort. You should have plenty of boxes and sturdy garbage bags to handle the following categories. Keep. Be brutally honest with yourself when you decide what to keep. If you haven't worn something in over a year, you probably won't wear it again. Is the item something you hold on to because you feel guilty about giving it away because it was a gift? Are you simply postponing the time when you get rid of it? Clothes often hold sentimental value for us. We remember happy times and special occasions when we wore them. That's no reason to hang on to something that you don't use anymore. You surely have pictures of yourself in those outfits, and you have the memories, whether the clothes are still with you or not. Think of your closet as if it were the crisper drawer in your refrigerator. What happens when you procrastinate getting rid of things? Procrastination doesn't pay. Whether it's a slimy cucumber or an outdated suit, know when it's time to get rid of it and follow through. Declutter experts are unanimous in saying that you won't regret even the most dramatic purge. You'll enjoy knowing that your clothes have gone to a good cause and that they are helping less fortunate people who can get use out of them. You'll enjoy the feeling when you look into your spacious and organized closet to easily retrieve whatever item you need. You might even enjoy purchasing some new clothes that suit you, now that you have room. Be careful about new purchases over the long term, though. That's how closets get crowded. It's helpful to make a guideline that for every item you add to your closet, you need to get rid of one. Keep somewhere else. You'll probably find some things that belong in other parts of your home. Sometimes items are brought into the bedroom and then tossed into the closet instead of returned. Whether it's a heating pad that belongs on a bathroom shelf or last winter's bedspread that belongs in the linen closet, get them back where they belong. Donate. Box up all the clothing, shoes, belts, ties, purses, etc. that you don't use anymore and feel good about donating them to a worthy charity. Be sure to keep a simple list of what you donated and the value to use as a tax deduction. It may be a good idea to seal up your boxes that are marked donate and place them in your car as soon as they are full. You don't want any temptation to change your mind, pull out items, and put them back in your closet. Get the boxes out of your house and dropped off at the charity as soon as you can. Trust your first instinct, which was to give the item away. First thought equals best thought. Sell. If you plan to sell any of your closet's contents, you'll want some boxes to hold those items. You may be planning a garage sale soon, where your clothing will bring in cash, or you may have a used clothing store that will give you cash or store credit for them. Whatever you plan, be sure to follow the advice given above. Don't change your mind. Get the boxes sealed up and out of the way, so you aren't tempted to take anything back out of them. Trash. This is where items that can't possibly benefit anyone, such as broken belts and shoes without heels, belong. As noted earlier, some charities welcome even the most worn-out clothing that they can repurpose into rugs and other items. Please make some calls ahead of time to check that possibility out. It may be that your very worn and outdated clothing is still useful and doesn't belong in the trash. Organize. After you get everything cleared out of your closet, you can organize what's left. If you've decided to add any built-in shelves or bins, you can do it now. They're a great way to organize sweaters and t-shirts so they don't take up space on hangers, and you don't need to paw through a dresser drawer to find them. Now is also the time to decide on how you will organize your closet. I like to have one side or section for summer clothes and the other side for winter clothes. Within each category, I sort by length and color. I have my long dresses, dark to light, then my short dresses, dark to light, then skirts and blouses. Special occasion or rarely worn outfits can be tucked in the back corners, out of your way. Shoe racks are a great way to keep your pairs together and easy to find. They come in various sizes to fit your needs, whether you have a few shoes and can get by with a small floor rack, or you have many shoes and could use a full over-the-door rack. Remember to use the inside of your closet doors as extra storage for shoes, ties, jewelry, etc. A few easily installed hooks can really help you stay organized and clutter-free. Children's rooms. A jumble of fun. Children's rooms can be a huge challenge to keep clean and organized. Grown-ups have enough trouble keeping up with what to wear, what's clean in season, and matches. Children present the additional challenge of what's clean, in